is make sure you fully understand some particulars of what happened the night the Lord was betrayed. And that's just it there. You know, most people, when they look at the issue of the Lord's Supper, they only look at the first couple of, the only couple of verses there that say when they took the bread and the cup and they drank of that, and they see Paul says, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. But see, you know what? That's not all that we're supposed to look at. We're supposed to look at what happened the night the Lord was betrayed, from John chapter 13 all the way up for five chapters till he's finally taken. And that's what we need to make sure we fully understand what's going on there. And when we look at it in that way, we can truly see how we do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, if you will, can you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to start there. And we're going to see what happened. And last week, what we did, we took a look at what happened in John 13. And that over and over again, the Lord says that he wants them to be as one and love each other as one. And he prayed unto the Father that his apostles be as one in one body, and they love each other in the same, in the idea that they are in Christ, and Christ is in the Father, and Christ and the Father is in them. And he over and over made sure that they fully understand what that meant, what that bread meant, and that they love one another and that they bear much fruit. That was a new command. These are commandments and examples that he gave onto the apostles. And he's showing them that they love each other as one. That had to do with that body, them being members of his body. And when he says, this is my body which is broken for you, he's explaining the idea. He said, here, he wanted to partake of that, because that signified them being as one and members of one another, and also sharing in that cup dealt with the ministry that they're going to take on. The Lord was passing the torch onto his apostles. There was a reason why the Lord gave this doctrine onto the apostles at this particular time, that night, right before he was betrayed. He knew he wasn't going to be here any longer. He was passing the ministry on to the apostles. But in order for them to take the ministry on, they had to take these particular doctrines that the Lord gave on to them. And we're going to see how all that plays into our dispensation of Gentile grace and what Paul was making known unto the Corinthians. And not just the Corinthians, but you and myself also. And what that had to do with the cup and the bread issue here. So again, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to look at the matter at hand here. 1 Corinthians, come down to verse 23. For I received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. We went over the particulars again about that. And again, just like he said in verse 23, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And then he goes on and explains what the Lord says. But at that time, when the apostles received that, the apostles knew what that meant because of the instructions that they were given prior. Again, they knew what the bread meant, and they knew what the cup signified when he says that this is the New Testament in my blood. Now, let's come back to that. Let's come back to that point in time there. Let's go back to Luke chapter 22. Let's go back to Luke chapter 22, and let's look at the contents of the cup and the what it signifies. And what it does, signifies the doctrine, the apostleship. And we're going to see all the things. We're also going to look at the temptations of this world and what all that meant. The temptations of this world and what that has to do with the ones that are proclaiming this doctrine. Now let's go to Luke 22, verse 17. Luke 22, verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And you notice he says, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." He's telling them to divide the cup that they have, not that they each have their own cup, but they have that, they divide it, they take one cup and divide it because they all had part in the ministry. And it was needful to divide that among themselves. Verse 18, "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, when you see that, he's saying he's going to drink of the fruit of the vine because he is the vine. The apostles are the branches, and the branches are supposed to bear much fruit. The apostles, when they take that ministry and they go out there and minister unto the unsaved, they're gonna bring forth fruit. Now you look at, and he says they took bread. Now today people do that. They go to the store and they buy wafer or cracker or something like that. Now what type should we use? It doesn't tell you what type to use. I mean, you know, you could do it the way the Catholics do it, or you could do it the way any others. I mean, we have to understand, we have to do it the way God says that we are supposed to observe the Lord's death till he come. Not the way we're taught in seminaries or the way we see, again, the Catholic Church do it. Verse 20, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Now, this is what we're going to look at here. We're going to look at the idea of what the betrayal is all about and what that signifies. And now, if you will, can you come down to verse 40? Luke 22, verse 40. "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation." Now, when you're looking at that, we know that ourselves, that earlier the Lord taught everyone how he taught the disciples, and he taught the multitude how to pray. And part of that Sermon on the Mount, when it says, when it goes over there and talks, saying that, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." He taught them how to pray. And here he is again saying, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And verse 41, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel from heaven, unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And again he said the same thing unto them, that they not enter into temptation. Now let's come to Psalms. Let's come look at Psalms, a very popular Psalms. A lot of people use this Psalms. And they often don't truly understand what's being said here. Let's go to Psalms 23. Psalms 23, let's start at verse 1. When you're looking at the Psalms here, you're looking at the Jewish saint who's now going through his sanctification here. And you're seeing what is being said here and how it has to do with what he's going to be doing as a obedient saint. Psalms 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I'm going to stop there. That should be the attitude of the saint. They should not care for the want. There should be only need, necessity. And you're going to see this. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now when you see it says, he makes me to lie down in the green pastures, he leads me beside still waters, he restores my soul. This is done through his word. And when it says that, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, as speaking as the shepherd there, and what his word is going to do for that saint. It's going to give that comfort, even though that saint is going through those courses of punishments and the five installments of it. And he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I mean, does that sound familiar? With whom the Lord says, what the Lord said over there in Luke 22, but behold, the hand that is with me on the table that betrayed me. And here you see here, he's saying that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Because this is significant with us today, because we're going to be in the midst of a sin-cursed world. And we're going to see how that entails with the issue of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and how Israel, they lusted after this world. Just when the Lord brought them out of Egypt, they lusted after the things of this world. Now let's come back to Luke 22. Let's come back to Luke 22 again. And let's look at verse 21. Luke 22, verse 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Notice the next verse. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Now, you see, the Lord just gave him doctrine. He just gave him the doctrine about the cup and the bread. And then he said, there's one that's going to betray me at the table, on the table. You know, they inquired who's going to do it. Then the next thing they want to know is, who's going to be the greatest? There was divisions among the apostles. There was strife going on there. After the Lord had just got through going over for two chapters that they be as one and that they love each other. And then he prayed to the Father that they be as one. And here the apostles are. There's divisions among them. There's strife among them. Which one of us should be accounted the greatest? Now, verse 25. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? It is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Notice what he says next. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. See, it's significant in why the Lord said that at this particular time right here also. He's explaining to them that, wait a minute, weren't you with me in my temptations? And now here you are. You're getting ready to partake of the cup and be as one bread body together in love. But you want to be like the Gentiles who exercise authority over each other? It's like you're all going to take part in this ministry. I told you that earlier. And another thing with the temptations thing here, the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil. 40 days he was tempted of the devil. He didn't eat. And then the devil tempted him after the 40th day. And, you know, that's significant also with Israel. When they were 40 years in the wilderness, Jesus Christ was in the wilderness. But he's showing that when he was tempted, He was worthy to do that. And right after he was tempted, he found out John the Baptist was taken, and he went straight away and started preaching. He went and got his apostles, and he was ready to take on that cup. You see, he took on that cup there. Now let's look at this world's hatred for the Lord and his saints. And this is what's being taught here. And we're going to see that this is what Paul was explaining to the Corinthians. And we'll see it's all the same thing of what Paul was explaining to the Corinthians at that time. So to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Come down to verse 18. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Now, we don't have to go look at Psalm 69 where it says they hated me without a cause more than the hairs on my head. But what's being said here is that how this world views the Father and the Son, and the ones that they send out in their stead. And he's making sure he's giving them education in what this world is about. and that the hatred that this world has for the message, for the Father and the Son, and the ones that's preaching, the messengers. Now let's come to John 17. John 17. Let's look at verse 14. And this is the Lord praying unto the Father. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified by through the truth. I notice all the times that the word world and truth and sanctify is being used here. And even John, even verse 15, where it talks about that thou should keepest them from evil. And that evil is this world, the things of this world. And this is the Father's prayer for them. Now let's go back and I come to Mark. Let's come to Mark, and let's look at chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And we're looking at the words, the watch and temptation, and what all that has to do with what's being said here. What does it have to do with what the Lord is trying to teach the apostles? Mark 14, and let's look at verse, let's come down to verse 32. And they came to a place which is named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be so amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not that I will, but thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. Now, when going over this here, you're looking at what's going on here. He takes John, Peter, and James. And it's, you know, you're looking at this here, you're seeing that he's teaching them something. He's explaining to them about them watching. And the Lord's getting ready to be taken at this time. He's getting ready to be taken, and he knows this. He knows that the act of betrayal is getting ready to come about at this time. But why would the Lord say in verse 38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. What does that have to do with not entering into temptation? What does the flesh being weak have to do with that? We're going to see that a little later on. Verse 39, and he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And notice he says the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Now, you're going to see every time the Apostle Paul makes mention of the word watch or take heed, he's going to say this when he also, when he's either ending an epistle, and it's his farewell to the saints, or even when he himself was getting ready to be taken, the Apostle Paul himself said these things. And let's look at that real quick. We're going to go, let's come over, let's come to the 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we're going to be seeing this is in the last chapters of each one of the of his epistles. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all things be done with charity. And you see here, he's saying, quit ye. In other words, act like a man. Be strong, let all things be done with charity. He's telling them to watch, stand fast in the faith. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and with supplication for all saints. And he's saying, watching thereunto with all perseverance. When you have perseverance, you know what that entails, and what you're talking about what he's asking these saints to do. And he's telling them to watch. And then let's go to Colossians here. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, let's look at verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, on your own, you can read through these the verses here, but I'm just giving you the verse itself to just point out something, a couple things here. Let's go to one more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, the end of the chapter, the epistle there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And you see what he's saying here? Now, we're going to see some significant things. And in studying this, that's what we have to do. We have to look at the verses. We have to look at the context. We have to look at what's being said here and why these words and why Paul is using the same terminology, the same meaning, the same way it was done with the Lord. Right before the Lord was taken, the Lord handed the baton to the apostles. He gave them some specific doctrines at the table. Then right before he was taken, right before he can, the last thing he can say to his apostles, his last farewell speech, he told them to watch, lest they pray, lest they enter into temptation. Now let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to see some things that's really significant about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's go to verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Now, most people, we all know that in looking at this, we know this is a sanctification issue here. That's what Paul is saying. I would not have you to be ignorant of. This is a sanctification issue that Paul is teaching the Corinthians here. And he's using the Corinthians as the Israel as an example. What happened right after they were led out of Egypt? Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters as some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now that was a physical eating and drinking. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation hath taken you as such, but as such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now this is misconstrued oftentimes here, this particular doctrine. But what this is saying is, lusting after this world, the temptations that a saint, one that wants to live on to God, we have to all live in this sin-cursed world. But there are temptations out there. And in these temptations, we have to watch and take heed. And we can't fall victim to this world and the lust of our flesh. And when it says here, take heed, lest he fall, and there's no temptation of taking you as such common command, you're not gonna go through anything that no one else has went through. And that's why it says that word is gonna be the one that's gonna make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And you notice the take heed and the temptations used there. Well, let's come over to Acts chapter 20. Let's come to Acts chapter 20. We're running out of time here. I don't want to go too fast, but Acts chapter 20. Let's look at verse 22. And what we're seeing here, Paul is getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And we know that when Paul went to Jerusalem, he was taken. And Paul knew he was getting ready to be taken. But watch what Paul says here when he knows that he's getting ready to be taken and he's passing the baton to his disciples. And when I say his disciples, I don't mean that they were disciples of Paul. I mean the men that were with him who were apostles, teachers themselves. They were disciples of the Lord. Now, watch what Paul says here in verse 22. Acts 20, verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. You see, that's because the attack and the hatred against him. And that's the hatred of this world against the ministry. Verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have shunned not to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, watch this here. Now, you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ gave the ministry unto the apostles, and he says, here's the cup. In other words, here's the ministry. Here's the bread. Be as one. Then he says, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Watch what's going on here. After Paul now says this, because he's getting ready to be taken, he's saying, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That's the visions. Right after he's explaining, he's giving them basically the ministry, he's going to tell them among themselves are going to be coming divisions. People to draw grievous wolves and disciples to draw, he said, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Look at verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God in the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you inheritance among all them that are what? Sanctified. Now see, Paul is telling them, you have his word. You have his word to build you up, edify you. Just like the Lord told the apostles, yeah, I'm leaving you with the comforter. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Now, let's come to 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, this is Paul's farewell epistle. Paul knew he was getting ready to be offered. And watch what Paul says to Timothy when he knows he's getting ready to be offered. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's come to verse 2. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch in all thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. They see here, Paul is telling Timothy, give him the doctrine. Take that cup. Give him the doctrine. Preach the ministry. And then he explains the warning. There's a warning about this world. And he says, after their own lusts. That's the same thing that was being talked about over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about the lusts of this world. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. Watch thou on all things. Endure afflictions. Do you see the similarity there? So let's come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're gonna go take a look at a lot of this here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's come to verse 15. I speak to as wise men, judge ye what I say. This cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now you must stop there. You see the cup and the bread. You see the cup of blessing, which we bless. Is it not the communion? That word communion means fellowship, togetherness. And we're going to see that later on there. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now here's the definition of the bread. Verse 17. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, how do we partake of ourselves? How are we, because we are one body, and I know everyone knows that, and one bread, and how do we partake of ourselves? We do it in love. We do it in agape love, the way we're taught. And what we're going to see when we're looking at the body, we're going to see every time, when we looked at some of that earlier, when talking about the body, there's love and charity talked about in accordance with that. Let's look at let's come down to verse 21 for time's sake here. No, let's just go to verse 18. Behold Israel after the flesh, for are not they which eat of his sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols anything? But I say that the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. And you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Now you notice he didn't say the bread of devils. He said the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils and the Lord's table and the table of devils. We know the Lord has a bread. We are that bread. We are that body. And you're seeing that we're going to come back to this in the third study and when we sum everything up, and everything is going to gel and it's going to click. I'm just trying to bring some of these verses out and show and put them where they apply. And that way, when we come back on the third study, we're going to start like pieces to a puzzle and start putting these specific words where they belong and with the doctrine and what Paul was explaining from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 all the way up until 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And actually, the first part of chapter 12, he goes over nothing but the body issue. The whole chapter 12, when he mentioned about spiritual gifts, he talked about the body. And we drink into one spirit. And that we have we have care for one another. Now let's come to 2 Corinthians. Let's come to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to close with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go to verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye have received not the grace of God in vain. Now, our being workers together with him, and we're going to see in the third study, we're going to look at the issue of the New Testament and our being able ministers of the New Testament. And what we also have a cup of the Lord. Some can not partake of that. But we all are given a cup of the Lord. We all just say, well, the Lord had a cup. And the apostles were given a cup. And the Lord said, like in John 18, the Lord says, the cup that the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Let's go to verse 2 here. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, I'm going to skip over this here because for time's sake, but what's being said here is there's a lot of things that the saint is going to go through. Matter of fact, let's read down. We have a little time here. Giving none offense, verse 3, giving none offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unframed, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor, dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. And looking at these things here, these are things that, that Paul is saying that in taking the ministry on, this is what a servant of the Lord is going to go through. This is what entails, what that cup entails. What you're taking this ministry on, and you're going to go through these things here. And then he's going to explain that the Corinthians did not want to go through these things. The Corinthians were not wanting to get their education. They wanted to reign as kings. They wanted to lust after this world. They wanted to rise up and play. They wanted to be as Israel that was just led out of Egypt. And watch what Paul says here. Verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. And that's a terminology used there, that they're not enlarging their heart for the things of the Lord. Their heart only values and esteems what they love. What they're straitened in their own bowels concerning themselves. Not concerning Paul and the disciples. Verse 13. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. In other words, enlarge your heart for the things of the Lord. You need to do a house cleaning on the things of your heart. You need to love the things of the Lord. And he says, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion have light with darkness? Now you notice these words that was used over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, fellowship, communion. What communion have light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saying the Lord Almighty. Now, looking at these words being used, he's saying that you can't have two fathers. You cannot have two fathers. You're either going to partake of the Lord's table or the table of devils. And that's why he says there's no, and you notice the concept here? He's talking about this. He's using words like fellowship, communion, concord, part, agreement. These are all words that mean togetherness, a oneness. And he's saying that you're not supposed to be partaking with them with these things. You're not supposed to be being of the same body with them, fellowshipping with them. And that's what they were doing. And we need to understand with this issue here, well, next week what we're going to do, we're going to look at actually what Paul delivered onto the saints. And again, we're going to sum it all up next week. But what we need to do is actually look at what we do and why we do it. And truly understand that when we're dealing with this issue of the Lord's table, you're dealing with an issue of ones who who are to shun the Lord's death till he comes. This is a very, very significant and important issue. And it's something that we have to truly understand that that shouldn't just be done once every 3 months or once every month or whenever the pastor decides that he wants to do it. But this should be something that is done, as, like the Lord says, as often as you do it, do this. And we're going to see that what this whole thing dealt with is that the cup signified the ministry. It signified, like the Lord says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And when we go out and preach, when we go out and minister unto others, that's how you show the Lord's death till he come. Showing the Lord's death is showing what happened on that cross. It's not just people gathering around a table. And you have to think about that. If we're gathering around a table and we're sitting there amongst ourselves and we're saying that this is making an impact in the heavenly places, and we're just remembering the cross and going over doctrine and things like that, do you think that would be showing the Lord's death till he come? And if you sit back and take a look at this, and if someone told you, well, what would be more significant? 40 people sitting around a table doing this, or 40 people taking a bread and juice, would that be a show, making an impact in heavenly places? Or will one person going out there spreading the gospel and getting souls saved, bearing fruit, bringing forth much fruit, as we've seen over there in Romans chapter 6. Now, that would make an impact, and we see that over Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known the manifold wisdom of God by the church. That's how you make an impact, by making something known. Not just sitting amongst yourselves when you could be out taking that cup. And that's how you partake of it. Because again, like the Lord said to apostles, drink ye all of it. They are, because they all have part in that ministry. How much do we partake of? Do we sip one sip? Do we drink a whole cup? What kind is it? Where should we get it from? It should be something that's separate from what other people partake of. The same thing with the bread. Is it unleavened? How much of it? But the bread signifies the body, the one body, like we are taught. We are taught we are of one body. And that's how Paul started the epistle off, 1 Corinthians, that he hears that there's divisions among them. And before he gets into the issue of the Lord's Supper here, he says, I hear there's divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And we're going to see that. We're going to go into all that next week, and we're going to see what all that means. And actually, when he even talks about the issue of he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And the issue of let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And what all that means. And the issue of chastening of the Lord, what that means. You know, there's issues there that we have to fully understand about this doctrine, because, again, this is a very, very important doctrine, but it's dealing with your sanctification and your sanctification alone. This is something that we can do every day. And most people do it and don't even know that they're actually observing what the Lord gave to his apostles. But this is the case. And with that, I'm going to close. And I'm going to open things up for the Q&A session. And anyone have any comments or questions, please feel free to chime in and leave a comment. And I know this is an issue that most, you know, and when asking most people how do they observe the Lord's Supper, Lord's Table, most people pretty much try to avoid that, you know. And the way it's done, it's something that everyone is questioned in the back of their mind what they do, because you see the Catholics do it. You see the Catholics do it. You see, and pretty much 9 out of 10 things that the Catholics do, we have to question that. Matter of fact, everything the Catholics do, we have to question that. You know, because we know the doctrine by which it was based upon. I'm going to go to the first caller here, 4391. 4391, you're in the queue.
Yes, how you doing, Pastor Ron Jones? How you doing today?
Very fine. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, great. Yes. I listened to you yesterday, but I just was waiting to yesterday because that's my first time we learned a little bit more about his death until he comes, you know, how the cover, I never could get into it. When the time passed, you know, I just never get into it, but I see that the cover is the doctor's to teach him. And it said, and that it is the cup is the doctrine of the teaching. The cup is.
Yeah, the cup is the cup signifies the ministry. It signifies what you do when you go out and teach others. When you show the Lord, that's how we show the Lord's death. How else can we show the Lord's death? You know, and that's what we have to understand. Showing the Lord's death is not us just sitting around amongst each other, just remembering his death. You've shown the Lord's death is you going out and doing what we're told to do as ambassadors. And we're going to go after that. Over that's why that's mentioned over there when it talks about able ministers of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
We're entrusted with this doctrine, with this ministry. And we can drink of it unworthily, or we can drink of it worthy. We can examine ourselves, and if we find ourselves worthy, then you partake of that. Then you eat this bread and drink this cup.
It's not a physical thing when they talk back in the law when you sit down and eat the bread and the wine. That's not seeing the Lord until his death. That's not it. It's preaching the word instant in 2 Timothy 2:4, how you preach the gospel.
That's right.
The ministry
of
the doctor. Okay. And sharing it with others.
That's right. And all we have to do is look at the cup issue and look through the Bible when the Lord says when he has his cup, the Lord's going to pour out a cup of wrath. Now, what's going to be in that cup of wrath? That's going to be his vengeance, the word. That's going to be what he promised afore to this world. And when the Lord has had his cup, the Lord, he looked in his cup and he saw what was in there. He saw the contents of that cup, what it entailed, part of that ministry. And then he explained, what the cup that my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? So, it's a spiritual, it's dealing with a sanctification issue, and sanctification issue alone.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Okay. How are you?
I'm blessed today, and you?
Thank you.
I'm going to
read very, very good.
2 Peter 3:4, and it says, "And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." So with the cup, people were celebrating the fact that he hasn't risen from the dead. He was still asleep.
Are you saying, would that be what the cup is signifying?
That's what they're celebrating in the law churches, is that they're not celebrating his resurrection and him going to the tomb and rising the third day. They're just celebrating the fact that, he is still asleep. And they would say that in the last days. And so the cup, they would say, they're celebrating the fact that he's still asleep.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, I never heard that before.
I'm reading it here. 3:4, where it says they would say, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? But since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Since the Father fell asleep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, is that something that most people take that and they apply that to the with the cup and the bread issue, with the Lord's table issue, Lord's Supper?
Well, the scripture says they were celebrating his death, not his resurrection. They were celebrating
right.
his death. He died, but he also
yeah.
rose.
That's right. And you know,
so Junior was celebrating what he did on the cross, but they didn't ever celebrate the fact that he rose from the dead the third day.
Right. Now that's where again?
What scripture?
Three, four.
What? No, it's talking about 2 Peter 3:4. It's saying in the last days people will still say he's asleep. He hasn't risen from the dead.
Right. In 2 Peter 3:4. Second Peter 3:4, let me get there. And saying, where is the promise of his coming, since the fathers fell asleep, and all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation? Yeah, now, again, most people don't take that, they don't apply that with the Lord's Supper, do they?
In the law of church, when we were taking communion in the apostolic church, it was to celebrate his death. We never celebrate his resurrection.
Okay. Now I'm getting you. I was trying to get what you were saying here, and because you're breaking up a little bit. Now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I never heard people do that, but again, now people celebrating his death. That there is something again that, you know, you can do that. But if you're doing that just amongst each other, what good is it? It doesn't do any good for the ministry, you know, for the ministry's
right.
sake, you know.
Because they haven't done what Jesus did on the cross.
Right.
They didn't believe he rose
the
third day to justify them. Because if they say that they only celebrating his death, they did not believe that he rose the third day. The
mm-hmm.
Jews didn't believe it, and there's people actually in churches today do not celebrate his resurrection.
Mm. Yeah, now I can believe that. I definitely can believe that.
So the communion was basically talking about the death. It was not talking about his resurrection.
Mm. Okay,
Testament.
I see what you're saying now.
When it says the New Testament, the New Testament was when Jesus rose from the dead.
Right.
He already had told his disciples he would rise the third day.
That's right. And like he says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood.
Right.
And we're going to see that next week. It's going to be very, very interesting next week, because we're going to go into a lot of things. We're going to sum everything all up and what a lot of things mean. And it's going to be very interesting next week.
Okay, thank you.
I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. I'm going to go to the next caller, 3663. You're in the queue.
Hello, Pastor. I enjoyed
this.
How
are you doing?
You got a whole lot of meat there. This is Westside Grace Ministries representative. I really enjoy teachings. I was listening intently to what the young lady was saying, and I didn't want to get anything misconstrued. In 2 Peter chapter 3, if you go to the third verse, I was always taught to go up a verse or two to find out
mm-hmm.
what's being discussed. And you find
mm-hmm.
out that even in verse 2, that may be mindful of these words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, first, that they shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. And verse 4 then says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? You know, they're saying that Jesus hasn't come yet. When is he coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Yeah, everything is going on until the grace church is filled. And when the great church is filled, then God is going to set in motion the rest of it. But until that's what I see in this fourth verse of 2 Peter chapter 3. So I was trying to see where the communion was or the Lord's Supper, and it kind of just left me.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that out, because this is speaking of the last days here. And again, that's what's going to be in the last days. There's going to be scoffers saying, wait a minute, where is this Jesus that you spoke about? It's been all these years. We don't see a Jesus. We don't know what you're talking about here. And they're going to be walking after their own lust. They're going to be, just like it's talked about, they're going to get to the point of brute beasts, you know, and things like that in that day. And again, I've never seen that used before. But everyone has their own version of the Lord's Supper. And what we have to look at, too, is in John chapter 13, it said the supper ended. And then the Lord started giving his apostles examples, commandments, and he prayed unto his Father earnestly, and he gave them instructions. And then he gave them some bread and one cup. It actually wasn't the supper at that time. It was showing them, giving them an example and giving them something that they can take into their ministry. Remember, the Lord is getting ready to be taken out of this world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's very significant that we understand this. And most people, everyone has their own version of the Lord's Supper, Lord's Table, communion issue. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that out.
Well, thank you, Pastor. I listen intently to you. I try to take copious notes. I don't get them all the time, but I'm pretty good.
Well, I do appreciate you, and I can tell you take a lot of notes. You're a very, very astute student. Thank you.
Well, God bless you, and enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, I'm going to take the next caller here. Next caller, 5-3-5-2-4, you're in the queue.
How you doing there, preacher?
Pastor Fine. Tom, how are you doing there? How you doing there, preacher?
Okay, I'm enjoying your teaching.
Thank you.
I've never heard it the way you explained it. I never did get the. I missed it last week, so you're gonna have to go up on your website and pull that down for me to make sure
I will
get. I want to let you know that. Anyway, I just want a quick comment too about the Second Peter chapter 3. The reason Peter writes that is because Peter writes Second Peter as a reminder to those Jewish saints, and he explains the delay in Christ not coming, about the scoffers coming, because he goes on to explain it's because of the long suffering of God, and Paul is the one. As you remember the verse down in it, Paul writes about concerning this. You want to understand it all, then you're going to have to read Paul. He said, as in all Paul's writings concerning those things, the long-suffering of God, why Jesus hasn't come back. And so that's why Peter even wrote it in the first place. And that's what that's in reference to. Like when the brother came up, he was writing what he was saying about, you know, you got to read the whole entire context. Now, I've never heard anybody use that one either, but I'm just like you. You think you heard it all. You're
right,
so right.
Right.
I never heard it, but trust me, I believe what the sisters say is probably true, that somebody has used that. I have no doubt. Somebody used it.
Right.
But anyway, brother, I appreciate you, and I'm glad you taking the time out to do a job on that, because I know at my congregation, we don't physically practice the Lord's Supper idea when I first started, but even logically, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's actually, I had one of my Bible study teachers do a series on it. He studied it. It comes from the Catholic Church. That's where the Eucharist come from, and the Protestants, we just follow them. We just jump right in behind them. And so, you know, you go to church, you get that little piece of cracker and, you know, a little bitty cup. And a long time ago, the Catholics still do it. They use just one cup. You know, everybody drink out the same cup. No, I don't have a problem drinking out. I don't have a problem myself using the one cup as long as I get the first drink. Yeah, you know, me and my family line up and we take the first drink.
Yeah, right, right.
Everybody after that go right ahead.
Right, right.
So actually, if you study religion and stuff like that, you'll find that the way it's practiced today, you know, and the way it's really taught in Protestant, it's an offshoot of Catholicism, actually, what it is. You know, the Catholic mm-hmm. Church got that, what's that stance something, the blood becomes, you know, you could go talk about that, the juice becomes, the wine becomes the blood of Christ, and the cracker mm-hmm. becomes his body, and, you know, you get into cannibalism. So it's great. The last thing is that my church, we don't practice that. It never made any sense to me either to come together to break a little cracker and drink a drink, and, you know. So, but what we do, we have a fellowship meal. Mm-hmm. And it's something we do every month. We just have one big meal where everybody bring the potluck, and we come and we, as a church, we enjoy that one meal. But I'm just so happy to hear your teaching on it, and your understanding is fantastic. And I want to make sure you get me those notes so I can study it out. So I just want to encourage you to continue doing what you're doing.
Thank you. And I definitely will get those notes to you, and appreciate your clarity on that, Peter, also.
Yeah.
That's something that it's good to point that out there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much,
brother. All right,
talk to you. All right, bye. Yeah, again, I would love everyone to tune back in next week, and we're going to sum everything up, and everything's going to make more sense. We're going to put these words with where they go, and we're going to see how we do show the Lord's death till he come. And with that, I'm going to close. And I do thank everyone for listening in again. And I appreciate everyone that came. And